That was beautiful. And I cannot think of a more appropriate anthem. Who will teach the children? And by the way, our guest playing the flute today is Lisi Shanahan. And Lisi, thank you so much for being here and sharing your gifts with us, along with Beverly and Paul and choir. Thank you for blessing us. Who will teach the children? I know who taught the children. And I know the difference that she has made in generations of children in this church family. Gail, last Sunday, before the high school graduates came in, they were all reminiscing about the eggs that you gave them when they were children in Sunday school. You not only taught them, but you taught them well. Many of you know that our youth are working with the youth at First United Methodist Church. We're combining to go on this year's Belize mission trip. Well, a few months ago, the church in Belize, where we will be having Bible school, contacted me and said, the church council has met and the theme of Bible school is growing up with God. And I went, that's great. Now we have the theme. What are we going to do with it? So I want to tell you what I did. I got all the youth together. I didn't have any input. It was just the young people. I said, the theme is growing up with God. What are we going to do with it? And they came up with the five Bible stories. Moses as a little baby, the basket. Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple, the story that we have today. Joseph and his brothers, you know, the coat of many colors. David and Goliath. And the feeding of the 5,000. They did a marvelous job. And Gail, that's because they had someone who taught them faithfully. And that's why those eggs were so important. And it wasn't just the children in Sunday school. It would take me two or three worship services and show and tell to show all the eggs that Gail has done for us. But each one of these beautiful eggs has a special message. Like this has the benediction, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. You know how we always go and get pumpkins for the children around October? So Gail painted me a pumpkin egg. And back when Harold and I used to do football games, she made me a football. And then Harold and I did baseball games, she made me a baseball. And then she knows that I like the Atlanta Braves, so here's an egg with an Atlanta Braves cap. And we have M&M Sundays. Here's an M&M egg that Gail painted. And I could go on and on. Here's Noah and the Ark. And my office, Gail, I have so many eggs. We have them at our home. You have blessed us in so many wonderful ways with these stories that resonate with children. And the story that we're looking at today is a story about a child. When Jesus was 12 years old, do you realize we have four Gospels? This is the only account we have of Jesus as a child. Well, you know, Mark and John don't even have a nativity account. Matthew does, but then we go to the adult Jesus, but it is only the Gospel of Luke that has a story about Jesus from childhood. Now, there are stories about Jesus as a child. If you want to read something like the Gospel of Thomas, I was telling some of the young people about that today, there are Gospels that we call pseudepigrapha. Pseudo means false, pigrapha means writings. There are a lot of these Gospels that did not make it into the canon that have all sorts of fanciful stories about Jesus as a child. One of my favorite stories, when Jesus was a little boy, he was playing with some clay with the other kids, like our kids play with Play-Doh, and he made a bunch of little clay pigeons. And so Jesus, being Jesus, went like that and they flew off. You can probably see why that didn't get in there. There were other stories about Jesus getting even with a bully. And there was a school teacher he didn't like, and I'm not even going to tell you where that one went. But in the canonical accounts that we have, the inspired scripture, this is the only account that we have of Jesus as a child. And this story is such a great story. It speaks to us on many different levels. The first thing that Luke wants us to see is simply this. The life of Jesus as a child revolved around family and faith. The significance of Jesus just turning 12 is that he would have just experienced his bar mitzvah. You know what the word bar mitzvah literally means? It means son of the law. Jesus was a son of the law. And Luke wants us to know that Mary and Joseph were meticulous in following the law. Look how the second chapter of Luke opens. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from who? Caesar Augustus, the Roman Empire, the law, that all the world was to be taxed. Now, the law said that you had to return to your ancestral home. That's the reason that Mary and Joseph made that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 80 miles. She was expecting any day. They did it because they followed the law. If you look at the second chapter of Luke in the 21st verse, on the eighth day, Jesus, the baby Jesus, was circumcised according to the law. And then look at the 22nd verse. This was when they dedicated Jesus. It was after the purification of Mary according to the law. They took the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem according to the law, to be dedicated to God. I mean, that's that wonderful story about Simeon and Anna. All of that was according to the law. And then when he was 12 years old, he went through his bar mitzvah. He became a son of the law, and he was able to experience the greatest event in the life of a Jew, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It even continues in the third chapter. Third chapter of Luke opens that tells us when the public ministry of Jesus began, when he was 30 years old, according to the law. His life revolved around family and faith. But there's a deeper connection here. Did you hear the Old Testament lesson that William read? It was about Samuel. Remember the story of Samuel? How his mother brought Samuel to the temple, or actually the tabernacle. It was before they built the temple. And he lived with the old priest Eli. And did you hear the scripture that Samuel increased and grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man? Seems like I heard that a second time. Almost the identical words about Jesus. You see, it was in the tabernacle. It was in the temple, the place that symbolized the presence of the living God, that Samuel came to an awareness of his unique divine mission in life. And so that is taking place here as well. But I think the thing that we often miss about this story is we're so quick to try to look at the theological significance and the symbolism and to tie it into the Old Testament and to look forward later in the Gospels, that we just forget the humanness of this story. This is a very human story. The greatest, most exciting thing for a 12-year-old boy after his bar mitzvah would have been to travel with family and friends on that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, from Nazareth, 75 miles. And if you look at the book of Psalms, you know the book of Psalms was the hymn book for the Jewish people. There are a lot of psalms that they call psalms of ascent. They are pilgrim psalms that they would sing on the way to Jerusalem. And when they finally arrived with the city before them on the Mount of Olives, they came to that dramatic moment when the pilgrims would say, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." And then on the inside of the temple, of the gates of Jerusalem, they would say, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." It was an antiphonal response between the pilgrims and the people inside. And then when they would enter the gates, we find the words that Ethan read this morning for our call to worship. When they stand inside the gates, they say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And if you look at that second verse of Psalm 122, "My feet are standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem." You see, that was a powerful moment. It was an exciting moment. Families traveled together. They ate together. They would camp together all the way there and all the way back. But then the drama begins. It's time to return back to Nazareth, probably about a 3-day journey. And they all leave. Probably all the families of Nazareth had traveled together. And they travel a whole day before Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus is not with them. Now people say, how can that happen? You ever been to the beach with 2 or 3 families and you have a bunch of kids and every time you stop, they jump in a different car? Okay, I mean, this could really happen. Say you have 3 families and so you stop at McDonald's and everybody gets in a different car and you take off because you're ready to go to the beach, and about an hour down the road, somebody says, "Where's Johnny?" "Well, I thought Johnny was in this car." You call ahead, no, he's not in this car. "I thought Johnny was in your..." "No, he's not in this car. Johnny's still at McDonald's." I mean, it could happen. I'll tell you about one time we left one of our kids somewhere, but I don't have time to go into that now. It can happen. You can easily see how it could happen. But then the amazing thing is, so Mary and Joseph turn around, but Jesus is not at McDonald's. They don't know where he is. How many days do they search for him? 3 days. 3 days. Put yourself in that story as a mother, a father. If you have a 12-year-old boy missing for 3 days, can't you just feel the anxiety? Can't you just feel this sense of oppression, fearing the worst thing has happened? It is no wonder that when they come up to Jesus, Mary says, "What in the world have you done? Your father and I have desperately been searching for you." But then this is where everything changes. Because this is not just a human story. And one thing Luke is telling us is that Jesus was fully human. And we see it here, a typical 12-year-old. But he was also fully God. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" The Gospel of Luke opens at the intersection between heaven and earth, between the sacred and the secular, between God and his people. This is where God touches the earth, and we see it in a dramatic way. We saw it in the first chapter. We saw the human, the old prophet Zechariah, and we see an angel, Gabriel, who comes with a divine pronouncement. We see a poor girl, a young girl by the name of Mary, who goes to the well. And she encounters the presence of the living God in Gabriel. And suddenly this poor servant girl becomes the handmaiden of the Lord. We see it when we get into the second chapter of Luke. On the human side, we see lowly shepherds. On the divine side, we see an angelic chorus. On the human side, we see the birth of a baby. But on the divine side, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. On the human side of this story, we see parents who did not know. But on the divine side, we see Jesus who said, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" On the human side, we see parents who are frantically searching. But on the divine side, we have the young Jesus who says to them, "Why are you searching for me?" On the human side, we see Mary who says, "Your Father and I." But on the divine side, we have the young boy who said, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" On the human side, we see Mary and Joseph who just don't understand. But on the divine side, we see a young boy who confounds the great scholars and philosophers and priests with his wisdom. On the human side, we see a 12-year-old boy who visits the temple. But on the divine side, we understand that the temple represents the very presence of God. This is where God and His people are connected, and this is exactly what Jesus came to transform. On the human side, the boy Jesus was missing for 3 days. But on the divine side, we have a foreshadowing of 3 days. Of 3 days. On the third day, 3 days. You see how we have this intersection? This is where God and His people come together. But without a doubt, the very best commentary I've ever heard on this passage came from the African American church. When a minister was trying to explain what was going on here, and it went something like this. The little pilgrim Jesus, only 12 years old, marches into the temple in the presence of the powers, the priests, the philosophers, the prophets, the potentates, the prelates. And they look at him, they look down upon him, and they said, "What's your name, boy?" And he said, "Well, on my mama's side, my name's Jesus. But on my daddy's side, my name is Emmanuel." "Where'd you come from, boy?" "Well, on my mama's side, I came from Nazareth. But on my daddy's side, I came from glory." "Did you bring an offering, boy?" "Well, on my mama's side, I brought a few shekels. But on my daddy's side, I brought everything." "What you gonna sacrifice, boy?" "Well, on my mama's side, I brought a dove and a pigeon. But on my daddy's side, I brought myself." Let us pray. Speak to us, O God, as you speak to children with the message in which the divine and the human come together and experience your glory and your power. Thank you for the stories of the gospel and the truth that resonates within our souls. Amen.